4 through 21. Luke chapter 8, 4 through 21. These are God's words to us. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter it may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press, that is, the crowd. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." I want you to imagine with me three scenarios. First, imagine that you are at work with your boss, and your boss says to you, "Please go to warehouse B and pick up 24 widgets and give them to Fred." You hear the words that he said, but you turn your back and you go to the break room and get a snack instead. What would happen? Second, you are a child standing in front of your mother. She says to you, "Please go upstairs and clean your room." And you say, "No, I'm going to play outside." What's going to happen? Well, you're probably going to be taught a lesson behind the woodshed. Third, you are standing in front of Jesus, and he says to you, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." You'd say, "I'd rather not do that. It's too hard. Maybe I'll love some Christians, but those few that irritate me, I'm not going to love." You turn and you walk away. What would happen? In all three of these scenarios, you have heard and understood the words that were spoken to you, yet you did not really listen because you did not obey the words spoken to you. In all three of those scenarios, you are in a relationship with the person speaking to you. So boss, employee, mother and child, and Lord and servant. So we often treat these words on a page differently than words spoken to us by a person who is in a relationship with us. As we open the Bible, we must treat these words differently than words that we find in a novel or a self-help column or in a blog post or on Facebook. These words that we just read are from the God who created you and who owns you. If Jesus is your Savior, these words that are read are words from your Heavenly Father who loves you. As we go through the text, let us think about how we listen to the Bible, how we listen to the voice of Jesus. Are these dead words on a page to us, or are they the voice of the living God standing right now in our very midst? So in our text, Jesus gives three pictures about how we hear, how we listen. True hearing will result in belief and obedience. And so here are three pictures that we're not supposed to see. We're supposed to listen well to these pictures that Jesus gives us. So picture number one, four soils and a sower or a farmer. The first picture is a parable of a farmer planting seed on four types of soil. You notice the farmer is the same, the seed is the same, but each of the four soils is different. With each soil comes a different response. As we look at the meaning of this parable, we see that there is an external circumstance that exposes a condition of the heart. Can you walk with me? An external circumstance that exposes an internal reality of the heart. So let's look at the four soils that show four different hearts of those listening to Jesus. The first is packed down soil on the path. And you could call these people with hard hearts. The external circumstance is the devil snatching the seed away, the word away from their hearts, and they could not believe because their hearts were packed down and hard, and because of the devil's work. The devil can work easily in a person whose heart is hardened to God and His word. The second soil is the thin layer of soil on a rock or the crevice of a rock. So there's no water, there's no moisture in this soil. These people are people that initially accept the word of God, but then fall away because of temptation, testing, hardship in their lives. The internal condition of having no root in themselves is exposed by the external reality of hardship in their lives. So same word, but when hardship comes, the heart is exposed. The third soil is similar to the second. The seed is choked by weeds. The word is choked out by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. So let me tell you, that is a huge one for us in America. When God's word comes to us, we'd rather go shop than to obey. The internal condition of the heart is shown by the external temptation of the world. Only the fourth soil bears fruit. Notice how there is hearing and obedience. Those who keep the word. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Hold to it. Obey it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So over the long haul. So there are many responses. Rejection. Initial joy. Casual interest, but only one response that is true hearing, listening, and obeying with endurance. So the truth, dear friends, of this parable, of this picture that Jesus gives to us is this. The response to the word depends on the condition of the heart. The response to the word depends on the condition of the heart. Now, if you were with us last Sunday, and if you happen to remember what I preached on last Sunday, we looked at different responses to the Word of God. We saw the centurion, the soldier that had great faith in Jesus. We see the crowd that celebrated what Jesus had done. We see John the Baptist wavering in his faith. We see the Pharisees aloof from Jesus. We're not going to do anything with that man. And we see the woman, the sinful one, weeping at the feet of Jesus. That's all of chapter 7. Why all these different responses to Jesus? Jesus says, because each heart is different. The response to the word depends on the condition of the heart. So as an application for this truth, I want to encourage you who share the gospel. Don't lose heart when the word is rejected. Don't lose heart when the word is rejected. It is very discouraging to proclaim the word of God to someone and they don't listen. They don't want it. Especially when that person is a loved one, a family member, a dear friend, and you have shared with them over and over again and it is not going through. So Jesus gives us this parable partly for our encouragement and for our information. Let's think about these four different soils. So let's do some math, okay? Let's pretend that each soil represents 25% of people in the world, okay? I know this is not how it works, but just bear with me as we think through this. If these soils or hearts are evenly distributed, so 1 in 4 people will outright reject the word when they hear it. Another quarter will show initial interest, but then fall away. Another quarter will fall away because they rather go shopping than love Jesus. The last quarter of people will actually believe and hold on to God's word. Again, that's not how the numbers work. Only God knows. But you step back and look. Wow, only 1 of 4 soils responds rightly to Jesus, while the other three reject or fall away. So Jesus wants you to be encouraged today, if you are sharing the gospel, that when it is rejected, when people go "hoomph" to it and rather do something else, is that that will happen. The word will be rejected and people will fall away from Jesus when we proclaim the word. So, dear friends, don't lose heart when it seems like the message doesn't work. It does work wonderfully in those who believe, but others will reject the word and walk away from Jesus. Some get it, and some do not. Notice what Jesus says in verse 10. He says to the disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." These words are quoted from Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to turn back there, okay? I don't normally have you flip a lot, but turn back to Isaiah the prophet, the first major prophet. Somewhere in the middle of your Bible there. Isaiah chapter 6. Now in this passage, and hopefully most of you are familiar with it, Isaiah sees a vision of the glory of God as God is seated on his throne, and Isaiah is overwhelmed by his sinfulness, and he says, woe is me. Isaiah is forgiven, and then in response to seeing the Lord, he says, here am I, send me. This is a guy who wants to be used by the Lord. Then in verse 9, this is what God tells him his mission is. Go, tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. That means the core of your being will not work correctly. They won't understand. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. God doesn't want them to hear, because if they heard, they would repent and be saved. Verse 11, then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses be without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Now think about this. Isaiah had a tough job. God tells him, your job is to go preach to people who will not listen to you. That's rough. I'm sorry. That is really rough. I'm a preacher. I kind of sympathize. I'm like, you guys are good listeners compared to what Isaiah had to put up with. Just like the people of Isaiah's day, the disobedient people of Jerusalem, there were people in Jesus' day who would not listen. So the parables, we like to think that the parables were these fancy stories that Jesus used so that you could understand the truth better, and that is not the case. The parables were given so that those who had hard hearts would not understand the message, and those who had been enlightened by God would understand better the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now that is startling, that Jesus would intentionally confuse people who rejected him. But it is a judgment on those who have already rejected Jesus. So again, why? Why couldn't these people understand? Verse 10 of Luke chapter 8 again gives us the clue to why these people will not understand the parables. Unto you it is given. Who's giving? God. God is doing the giving. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So if you understand the gospel, if you understand the simple truth of God's word and are trusting them, that is an act of grace. It is given to you. You now have a gift of God of spiritual sight. Think back and what would happen if you didn't understand the gospel, if you didn't hold on to Jesus. Think about the grace that God has given you, that you would understand the mysteries of his word. It's hard to get over this, that God, in his grace, would allow me to understand the gospel while others reject him. If you want to, Jesus brings this topic up again in Luke 10, 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It is good to the Father to reveal Jesus to some people. And if you're one of those people, I mean, you should feel blessed, like a person who got rescued, who was dangling over a cliff, about to fall, and Jesus came and rescued you. And we now see, we now understand. If it was left up to you, you would have rejected Jesus. But because God, in God's grace, gave you understanding, you now have Jesus and understanding. So what a precious gift that we can understand the gospel. So that's the first picture, a sower and a soil. It shows the four conditions of people's hearts. The second picture is a lamp on a stand. A lamp on a stand. Verse 16. Jesus says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. It's obvious. You want to put your lamp where people can see it. Now, what does this mean? Now, in Matthew 5, this is used to talk about our witness to Jesus. But here, I think Jesus is using this picture a little bit differently. Jesus teaching, this is what he's talking about. Jesus teaching, it talks about it before and after this little lamp parable. Jesus teaching is light. The word that Jesus proclaims is light. The word that I'm proclaiming right now, that's Jesus teaching, is light. Everyone who hears is exposed to the light. It shines out. It's not hidden. Everyone in earshot of Jesus was seeing the light. Everyone hearing my voice today is seeing the light. Then we go on to verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known or come abroad. So Jesus' teaching is light, and it penetrates, it exposes. How you respond to this light that everyone gets will be revealed in the end. Because I can see you all there, you're sitting, you're for the most part attentive. But in the end, it will be revealed to before Jesus how you listened. How do I know that? How do I know that the lamp and this revealing is talking about how you listen? Verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. So the lampstand and the revealing is talking about how we hear. So everyone gets the light, but in the end, it will be revealed how you responded to that light. Therefore, verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. So if you're hearing well, you're going to get more. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which it seemeth to have. So if you reject the word, you're going to get dumber, basically. I mean, that's how it's put there. That's how the parables worked. The parables helped those who followed Jesus to understand better, but those who rejected Jesus, it confused things. And that's what's happening here in verse 18. So you hear the light, you see the light, how will you respond to the light? So the truth is nothing is hidden from the Word of God. Nothing is hidden from the Word of God. And the application is this. Your eternal destiny hinges on how you treat the Word of God. Your eternal destiny hinges on how you treat the Word of God. So each of you have the privilege today of hearing God's Word. That is an amazing privilege that we have God's Word in our language, and that we are hearing it together today. Since you are alive and breathing, God has given you this day to listen and respond to His Word. Every day that you are alive is another day for you to trust and to repent. This is very good news, because if you're alive, you have a chance to respond to God's Word. The good news that Jesus proclaimed and that we proclaim today is the same. Even though we are sinners facing eternal judgment in hell, God sent Jesus to take hell and judgment for you on the cross. Jesus lived the perfect life that you could not live. He died the death that you deserve to die. And He rose again from the dead and offers you eternal life in heaven with Him. That is very good news, because you are more sinful and flawed than you could ever think, but you are more deeply loved than you could ever imagine. And that's what the good news that we have to offer today. You're listening to it. What a privilege. And I know many of you have responded to this good news and are persevering and bearing fruit. But if you have not responded to this news, today is the day that you must respond, because you only have today. So, will you trust Jesus to save you? If you trust Him, you get to become part of His family forever. And that leads us to the third picture, Jesus' mother and brothers. Jesus' mother and brothers. So Jesus is teaching in a house, and there's a crowd. It says here, I love how the King James says the press. It's not CNN camped out outside the house. It's actually a crowd of people around the house, and Jesus' family can't get in to see Him. And Jesus takes this interruption in His teaching to, again, talk about how we hear. How do we know who is in the family of Jesus? People who listen to what the Bible says and do what it commands. It's so clear here. Verse 21, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. That is crystal clear. There's no parables, there's no hidden meaning, but listening and obeying. Unless we obey, we have not really listened. So the truth is that the true family of Jesus are those who listen and obey. Last week I quoted from J.C. Ryle, and he said, Christianity is not just listening to sermons. And for some people, that's the sum of their Christianity. You come to church, listen to a sermon, go home. But here, Jesus makes it very clear. We must obey what we hear. Unless you obey, you have not really listened. How then do we listen well? There's actually a booklet on the back table, I think, still, about how to listen to sermons well. So if you think sermons are weird and that they should have died with the dodo bird, that's a good book to read to encourage you. Yeah, because sermons are hard to listen to. I do acknowledge that. So listening well to the word proclaimed, scripture read, messages, reading your own Bible during the week, there's ways we can grow in that. So we need to listen well to whenever the word of God is proclaimed. So how do we listen well, and how do we become good soil that can soak in the teaching of Jesus? So first, realize that if you want to listen to the Bible, it's an act of grace. Because naturally, as sinners, we want nothing to do with God, really. We might want religion, but we don't want God. We don't want him interfering with our lives. So if you want to receive God's word, it's an act of grace in your life, and you should be thankful that you have that desire. So, and anything that we hear and understand and obey afterwards, after we get saved, is, again, an act of grace. Because understanding of God's word is something given by God. So the first thing we should do is pray. In our bulletin, we have a little blurb from Psalm 119 under our scripture for meditation. It says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me." And if you go through Psalm 119, it's amazing to see how often the psalmist prays that he would understand. So the first thing we must do is pray, "God, help me to understand your word." Not just informationally, but to assimilate it so it transforms you and you obey it. We as American Christians are way educated over our level of obedience. Would you agree with me that we know so much of the word, but we are very slack in our obedience? So the second way to listen well is to obey what you already know. Now, this is not one you hear, like, go to Bible college so you can study the Bible. This is one you don't need to go to Bible college to do. All you need to do is to obey what Jesus tells you. Now, how does that work? As we obey God's word, it forms our hearts and our character so that we can receive more of his word. So a person who hears God's word and doesn't obey it, they're not the kind of person that God's going to reveal his word to. So if you're serious about understanding God's word, obey the parts that you do know, like loving your family and loving one another. That's good enough to get started with, and that will take you a lifetime to accomplish. So there we go. But yes, pray that God would give you understanding and obey what you already know. And that's very much some themes from our text. So I want to, again, the application for this point is this. Reading the Bible is having a conversation with Jesus. Reading the Bible is having a conversation with Jesus. So I want us to go back to those scenarios that I mentioned at the beginning of the message. So your boss says to you, go to the warehouse, get 24 widgets for Fred. And what do? You turn your back and you decide to get a snack instead. Second, your mom says to you, go upstairs and clean your room. And you say, no, I'm going outside to play. Third, you're standing in front of Jesus and he says to you, this is from John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. In your heart, you say, no, there are some people I just can't love. I'm not going to do it. It would be easy to think that the Bible is just a book of good advice, and this sermon is just some guy wearing a tie, talking about what bothered him during the week, and he wrote it down on a paper and decided to tell people about it for 30 minutes, okay? I mean, seriously, I'm from the outside. We got a book, and we got a guy up front talking. Like, that thing's quite normal and ordinary, sometimes quite boring because, you know, TV could be more interesting. But when the Bible is proclaimed, Jesus is standing here speaking to you. He is having a conversation with you. He's speaking to you. How are you going to respond to his voice? Like those three scenarios, we're in a relationship with Jesus. And he is speaking to you right now. He's standing at the door knocking. He wants you to listen. Can you imagine standing before Jesus, who died willingly for you, the Lord of the universe, God of very God, and he speaks to you, and you say, "No, I'd rather not." That's what happens when we listen to the sermon and go home and don't obey it. When we read the God's word and we don't obey it. Jesus is speaking to you today. That is grace that you get to hear his voice. Will you listen to him? Let us pray. Father, I pray that we hear your voice today, that we would not harden our hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. Father, I pray for any of those here today that are on the edge. They're deciding whether or not to take a step to trust you for salvation, or they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to take that step of obedience that they know they have to take. Oh, Father, help them obey. Help them to listen well to your voice, and that they would trust that your words are true and faithful. So, Lord, thank you for the grace that you've given us that we can understand. And I pray that you would give us more so that we can understand and obey. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand with me and we'll sing number